Julia Brakey, Nevertheless. Gary from St. Helens is live with us here in the audience. You rolled over what would otherwise have been an inflicted piece.
All I can say to you is if it hadn't been for the intervention of us, i.e. the public, we would have ended up with the bland miner's lamp, you know, a very literal statement on the site. And Jaume, who was a gentleman to work with, and all artists and not all bastards, the lovely guys who'll sit down and talk with you and discuss with you and listen to you about your aspirations for the site.
Had there been any consultation at all about the lamp?
Yes.
They had?
They had.
And so how did they arrive at it?
It didn't.
They got to the point of proposing it.
That wasn't that was his initial proposal.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't his first idea.
I see. He'd been selected anyway.
Yes.
And then he was manipulated towards a lamp.
No. He was given a brief of what we wanted for the site. But he looked through our eyes and produced something that he thought the public would like. And he was like totally took aback when we had to confront him and say to him, we need to push the boundaries on this. We're looking for something that's going to be a beacon of hope for the future. The site is now dead, but we need something that's going to take the site beyond what it stands for. If we'd had the miner's lamp, it would have kept us deep-rooted in the past. So then he came up to us and said, well, I don't think you'll like this, but this was my initial idea. And he rolled out Dream to us. And you know, we all think in St. Helens now.
Does anybody ever come up to you and say, I did love the lamp?
Yes.
I wish we had a light there that we could come
absolutely.
Round tonight.
All
have a barbecue up there.
Absolutely.
Get married in front
absolutely.
Of it.
All the nostalgia lovers would want it that. But the lamp would have died with the sight. Mm-hmm. And now we've produced something of a world-class sculpture by a world-class artist mm-hmm. that will take not only the sight, but I think the town as a beacon of hope to the future.
But you're really a Manura person who believes in cooperation between the authorities who select the artist and the public who want to choose what they do.
That's right, yeah. We gave him a brief. But we gave him a brief to look at the site through his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
His first proposal to us was something looking through our eyes, and that's what we didn't want.
Well, the interesting thing is you've taken us onto an area which I think we should try to explore, and that is the question whether public art actually is any good at regenerating an area anyway, because that was the purpose of your project, and you said it's still pretty dead, but at least they come and look at what you've got.
That's right. The site was took over when the colliery finished by the Foresters Commission,
mm-hmm.
and they landscaped the area. It would perhaps get one or two people if you was lucky per day. Mm-hmm. I went up Saturday evening at 9 o'clock and we passed just 25 people were up there. And that was a Saturday night, 9 o'clock.
Well, which is or does that just mean more people go for a picnic on the slag heap now?
I don't know. All I know is that we produce something on the site that people want to
do. Let's widen it out, because you talked about a beacon of hope in a desolate place. Perhaps people have better ideas of public art, which have regenerated areas, which have been the focus from which a kind of overspill of redevelopment has occurred. I mean, is there any evidence that public art can regenerate an area?
I think it can, but it's quite a difficult thing to predict and to manage, and it doesn't always work. And what's interesting is after the Anthony Gormley, lots of councils rushed to have their own version of it, and there are lots of angels being designed and produced, and it's very difficult. Once you've had the effect, you can't then recreate it many, many times again, because effectively you're still trying to attract the same people, you're trying to attract the same tourists. If everybody tries to do something unique and different, you actually end up looking quite similar. So I think that there is a risk of over-expectation of what public art can do. But it is a good thing to have public art, because it can be beautiful, it can really enhance an area. It can also destroy an area, it can look really bad. That's why I think we have to recognise that judgments are not simply binary. I think Grayson's point that artists and art critics have a lot of authority and expertise is absolutely right. They can often see things, they can often judge with a heightened sense of taste, perhaps. But there are artists out there who unbelievably do not like Anthony Gormley. Not all artists think the same or feel the same about art. And even though I think authority is very important, we have to just be cautious about insisting that there is a right way and that there's absolute good art and that everyone will agree with it.
Well, I mean, we do have this very fascinating tussle between what happened over the Angel of the North, which was largely inflicted, and what happened with the Horse of the South, which has been effectively chosen, I think. And I wonder whether Echo.
Yeah, well, in fact, I too am from the Fourth Print Commission Group, amongst other things. I'm the chairman of the Fourth Print Commission Group.
What a mafia.
So, indeed. I do have some interest in all this. But I, one thing about, two, a couple of things. You know, one is that the role of artists, as has been said, amongst other things here, is to take taste forward, is to take ideas of art and culture forward. And the reason why the horse in the South had a much easier ride, as it were, than the angel in the North is because the angel in the North already existed, and one could see the possibilities there of an iconic sculpture, good or bad.
But didn't the angel go forward and the horse go back?
No, the horse...
Horse is going forward too.
Well, if they can get the money for it. One other point to make, I wanted to make take issue with the point that Andrew made. I think that the purpose of public art isn't per se to serve a community. It's important. Any responsible artist actually does talk to and think about the place of their work in its locality. They don't just bung a thing down there and get the hell back to the Groucho Club or something. They do actually think very responsible about how it works in there and who it works with. But the issue is that any work of a truly responsible artist isn't just for a community. It's also for the nation. It's also for the world. And in that respect, it's about exceeding the expectations of that community, not just saying, well, we'll work with you and we'll come to an agreement and so on and so on. The point is, you create something that hopefully does stand over time, does stand in imagination. And to do that, you always have to exceed expectation, not just meet it. And the trouble with Andrew's point, I think, is simply this, that you end up with consensus, you do end up with community art, and you end up with a suspicion of the excellent. You end up with a suspicion of quality. Hence, I think, when Andrew starts talking, he kind of mentions this thing about, you know, this kind of sneering thing about elitism. And that's the danger. The danger is, in fact, that you reject possibility, that you reject imagination. And I think that's wrong.
Well, that's very interesting, Gary, because basically that tells your story. The expectation was of a lamp, but the aspiration was lifted by this creativity of the artist.
I agree with what you're saying, and to some extent we're setting up poles of arguments here which are far too extreme. But a few people have said this already. It's all about that process. A process led solely by one kind of person can result in one kind of art. A process where a curator, as in the big art show, a curator was brought in to mediate that process between the artist and the people who are choosing it. And their role is pivotal. The artist's role, some artists don't function very well like that. I mean, artists are of all different kinds of flavors. And, some artists will sit in that role very well. Some will not. Some should not be making public artworks. Some should. That's the basic truth. But that process is very important. What's happening here in this debate is we're kind of distilling it into, let's the community decide, okay, we'll end up with a neighbours set into stone, or let's make an artist decide, oh, that's far too elitist. In actual fact, it's not like that at all. I think there's a mediated process where there's consultation, it works very successfully.